chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 3. We're going to do a little recap, and then we're going to see something together. Now, there's five reasons for this epistle that was written by John. Who remembers what one of the five reasons would be? Joy. That we have joy. But specifically, not just that we have joy, but verse 4, that your joy may be what? Full. This letter was written so that we could understand how to have full joy. And then we see in verse 4 through verse 10 that we're in, that we finished up in John chapter 1, how we have full joy. We walk in truth. We walk in light. We don't walk in darkness. That's how we can have full joy. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we can have the full joy of Christ because we walk in truth. We walk in the light of Christ. All right? What's another thing? Another reason for the writing of this letter. We've got joy. What was the first one? Fellowship. Verse 3 of chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And my goodness, what a wonderful study. Learning about what fellowship is. And it's more than just getting together at a potluck. Amen? The fellowship, that mutual striving and working together and serving with one another and serving one another. That fellowship that we see in Scripture. Anybody remember the third one, which is where we're at? It's in chapter 2, that ye sin not. That's chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye what? Sin not. Do you know it is possible as a believer to not sin? It's possible. How do we know that? Because he's told us. He's writing these things so that we know how to sin not. But then look at verse 2. Or let's read the rest of verse 1. And if any man sin, we have in what? We got an advocate. Who's our advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. And where is he? With the Father. He is, verse 2, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, verse 3 is where we're at. This is where we left off last week, dealing with the new commandment and the old commandment. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Last week we looked at the knowledge of God, not being the indicator of salvation or the lack thereof, but knowledge being the strengthening of faith in the salvation that we trusted. Our knowledge and recollection of our salvation is not what our salvation is dependent upon. Why do we say that? Because there are people who have, for instance, you get in a wreck and you lose your memory. You got saved before the wreck. Does that mean if you lose your memory, you lost your salvation just because you can't recollect that? No, that's not what the Bible teaches. He tells us some things, some ways that we can know that we know him. And one of the ways that we help to sin, that helps us to sin not and gives us that full assurance is if we keep his commandments. And last week we looked at that word keep. We looked at that word of have knowledge of and of protecting, tending, and dressing. And we looked at all of those things. That's what we're supposed to do with the commandments of God. And then the question then becomes, what commandments do we keep? Because that can be a whole can of worms, right? Depending on who you ask, what commandments do we keep? I know men that wear the garb, that wear the prayer beads of the Jews, that wear all of the knots, they wear all of that because it's in the law. We're not under the law. Amen? He took care of it. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. So then all we have to do is trust in him and we're under him. So if the Bible tells us that we're to keep the commandments of God, what commandments is it talking about? And that's where we're at. So verse 4, let's look at it now. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we know him. Let's pray together and let's jump into our study for these next few moments. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we are so grateful. So grateful that you have given us the comfort of Scripture that we can recognize through your word that we know you and that we are part of your family. Lord, you've given us clear indication of how we can have fellowship, how we can have full joy, and how we can avoid sin. And even if we do sin, we have an advocate, and that is your only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray now that you would help us as we study together. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know your Son as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, maybe there's some that are wayward, some that feel like they're not saved, but they know that they've trusted in you and they've just not been living right. Lord, I just pray that you'd give them that strength. Lord, give them that grace and help in time of need. Help them to understand what they need to do in order to live a life pleasing to you, but ultimately to recognize that they're in your hand and they themselves can't even pluck themselves out. Lord, I pray that you would help that this scripture to affect change in our hearts and lives. Lord, help me not to preach my opinion. Help me to be faithful just to preach your words. Pray that it'll be a help and encouragement. Pray that it'll be a conviction. I pray that it'll be an instruction. Lord, help us now as we learn together. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Last week, we ended on point number one of two from these verses in 1 John chapter 2 from verses 4 down through verse 7 was point number one. Point number one, John tells us that this is no new commandment that he's getting ready to write. Look at verse 5 now, verse 6 rather. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, what is that old commandment? That old commandment is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's the old commandment that we don't have to redo it. We don't have to look to anything else. It's clear as day. If we love God, if we are born again, if we have passed from death unto life, then we should keep that commandment to love Him with our entire being. That should drive us. That's a pretty good indicator. I mess up. I feel bad. I've let God down. Lord, I love you. I don't want to let you down. Do you know what that is? A good indicator that you're saved. You know why? Because you've got the Holy Spirit convicting you. And you're wanting to please God. Here, let me give you some encouragement. The Old Testament is filled, and what's the Old Testament written for? For our learning. It was written for our example. It was written for our admonition. I said some of the greatest illustrations I've ever heard preached from any pulpit have not been personal illustrations that are relatable. It's been the Old Testament, seeing how they tie to New Testament principles. The greatest illustrations I've ever seen. And one of the greatest of those is a man who messed up time and time and time again, and yet God still says that this is a man after mine own heart. His name was David. David, a man who would start off well and end very poorly. End very poorly. A man adulterous relations, and then ended up sending off the husband of the woman that he had an affair with to his own death. David being a murderer, and the Bible still says that David is a man after God's own heart. That blows my mind. I don't understand that, but I crave to be a man after God's own heart. And you know what that does? It gives me hope that I can be. It gives me hope that even when I mess up, I can go to my advocate, my propitiation, and say, Lord, I've messed up. God, I need help. And you know what drives that? It's a love for God. That's the old commandment. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we left off last week, we learned some things about the children of Israel that gave them some direction on how they are to love the one true God. Just by way of review, that is to verse 6, meditate on God's words. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're to meditate on the word of God, right? We're to meditate on His law. That word meditate just means to think upon. That's all that meditate is. It's thinking, and it's permeating our thoughts and our minds, and we're constantly thinking about God and His word. If we will do that with Scripture, it will help us to love Him the way that we should, because we're spending time with His Word. Not only do we meditate His Word, verse 7, for part of Deuteronomy 6:7 is really the drive of what we do here as a church, and it's the drive that we really try to push in the families of our church, is to teach them diligently unto thy children. Do you know what I desire? If the Lord tarries his return, I desire that in the next 20 years we have children that have grown up loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. That's my desire. I want to teach these young people. Man, that's why it's not always easy. It's not always easy to get down there with kids and to try to sing and, you know, all those, you know, what am I to get? And they're going, Speedy Gonzales. I know y'all are good Christians. Y'all never watched cartoons, girl. I was a heathen. Amen. I watched Looney Tunes, and Speedy Gonzales was my favorite. Amen. And that's what those kids, and it's hard to keep up with them, but I want them to see their pastor loves them enough to spend some time with them and sing songs and then go over the verse of the month up here that we normally, with them down there, hoping that you guys go home and teach them diligently the Word of God, because I want them to grow up and get saved. I want them to be in heaven. I want them not only to be in heaven, but I want them to serve God. And I want them prepared for the battle that's coming for their souls. I want them ready. And so how do we do that? We have to teach them the Word of God. If we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, we're going to think about His Word. We're going to teach it to our young people. And then we're going to talk about His Word. We mentioned this last week, and I've said before, you can tell what somebody really loves if you just start talking about the things that they love. Amen. Right now is a real good time to be an Atlanta Braves fan. Amen. And if you love the Braves and you just bring up the Braves, I try this sometimes. I don't know much about sports. I don't know names. I don't know stats. I don't know any of that. But I do know enough to bring it up into a conversation, kind of like a conversation grenade. You know, you just throw it out there and you just step back and see what happens, right? Or maybe it's more like fishing. It's like conversation bait. You just reel it in, just see who bites, right? You start talking about the Braves and all of a sudden somebody goes, well, you know that so-and-so, boy, he's one of our best pitchers and he did this, 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 and this. And they just talk nonstop about why. Because they love baseball and they love their team. Do you realize that's what it should be about when it comes to the things of God? If we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, it should be what we talk about. Deuteronomy 6:7, the rest of the verse says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I don't want you to raise your hands because I don't want you to lie and I don't want anybody to get embarrassed. But I want you to consider, how many of us men, our wives would have a heart attack if we came in one day from work and said, you know, I was listening to the Bible on audio this today and I heard this verse and it had me go back and look at it. Hey, have you seen this verse? Some of our wives would pass out. Who are you? What have you done with my husband? What are you talking about the Bible for? Right? It ought not be that way. We should talk about the Word of God all the time. We should know enough about that book to at least talk about it. All you need to do is read a verse or two a day. You realize you don't have to sit here and read chapters upon chapters. I remember I was a young person. I kept hearing preachers and they'd get up and I knew what they meant. I knew what they were getting at. They'd wake up at 4 a.m. I'm already out on that. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I'm out. Not doing it. Unless a kid's throwing up or at the door scaring me half to death because they got to go potty at 4 a.m. I'm not awake. I don't even know the earth exists at 4 a.m. Amen? Not me, but these great preachers, they get, I was up at 4 a.m. in God's Word and I was praying. And I sit here and I think, and I read for 3 and 4 hours before the daylight even came up. And I sat here. You know what that did for me as a young person? Made me think I could never read God's Word because I couldn't commit that kind of attention to it. You know what I mean? Some people go, oh, that helped me. That helped encourage me. Not me. That didn't encourage me. It made me feel like I could never achieve that. Could never do that. Do you know what I tell people when they say, man, I sit and I try to read, and I'll try to read a chapter or two at a time. You know what I tell them? Condense it. Don't condense the word. Condense your reading. Stop trying to read chapters. Stop trying to read the whole chapter. Do you realize that there's sometimes 3 verses that would be 1 paragraph? And what is a paragraph? It is several sentences, usually 3 to 5 sentences, contain a thought, right? You realize you could read 3 verses and go, man. You know, I read in Mark this week, yesterday actually, I've been doing some reading in Mark and some trying to get to know the Lord better. I want to know Him. And I read, and I was 3 verses. That was the next portion of what I had determined. I'm going to read these accounts and these divisions. I read those 3 verses. And you know what? what I was convicted by in those three verses, I'm not as compassionate as Christ is. Because it talked about how they would bring him all the sick and all the hurting. And he healed all of them. There comes a time when I'm just done with people. You know what I mean? And we're all like that. We're just not like Christ. But he knows that. And he gives us the strength to continue. He's very merciful. And then as I read that, I'm convicted. And I want to try to be more like that. Because I want to be more like Christ. I want to be conformed. That's why we study the Word of God. It's not to gain knowledge. It's to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the purpose. All right? So we have to talk about His words, surrounded by. Why is keeping His words important? This is, all that was review. This is where we left off. Why is it important to keep His words? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, the children of Israel were given a warning if they don't keep His words. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then what? Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Do you know what oftentimes happens when we're overwhelmed with blessings? We forget the God that gave us those blessings. It becomes very easy to get distracted by the blessings. Boy, that's nice. Man, I got a little extra money in the bank account this month. Boy, all right, let's go. Let's go, you know, I don't know, McDonald's. It depends on how much extra is to you. You know, for me, it's a Big Mac. All right, so we got a Big Mac this week. All right, let's go. And sometimes we forget, Lord, thank you for the benefits that you've blessed me with. I've done nothing to deserve them. Lord, maybe you'd have me do something with it. Maybe I'll buy somebody else a Big Mac this week. Lord, lead me, guide me, help me to be a blessing as you've blessed me. Right? And so we learn, but sometimes those blessings, if we don't, now notice what it says, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and the house from the house of bondage. Do you know what the old commandment was? Love God with your entire being. Don't forget Him when things are good, and don't just turn to Him just because things are bad. Have a relationship with Him that's lasting and know who He is. All right, number two, we see the old commandment. But then in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 8. 1 John 2, 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. So what's the new commandment? Is loving thy brother really a new commandment? John says it is. Well, now wait a second. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 38. Matthew 22, verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. What is? Verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the Deuteronomy 6. That's the old commandment. That's the one we're still supposed to keep. We're supposed to love God with our entire being. But then notice, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy what? Oh, see, there we go. That's our brother. That's not what it says. That is a commandment that was old. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, time does not permit, but I do want you to write down a verse, and I want to do a little bit of a review. Who is a neighbor? And we studied this, and we've talked about that, but who is a neighbor? In Matthew chapter 23, or chapter 22, he says that the first and the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 36, you have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the man asked the question, which is what led Jesus to tell the parable about his neighbor. He asked a question about who his neighbor is. And then Jesus said, which one of these was neighbor unto the man that fell by the wayside and was robbed? And he said, the Samaritan, the one that showed him mercy. What is a neighbor? A neighbor is someone that shows mercy. And what did Jesus say to that rich man? Go and do that likewise. So we are supposed to be merciful. We're supposed to be neighborly. But that's not the new commandment. That's an old commandment. So what commandment is John talking about? Well, Jesus first introduced us to this new commandment in John chapter 13. Look, if you will, at John chapter 13. It was first presented by Jesus Christ. John chapter 13. Anybody remember what the great story of John 13 is? If you get there first, you'll see the title in your Bible, and then you can, I don't know what it is. What is it? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Man, what a great account. You know what always stands out to me in that account? Judas was still there. He knew, verse 3, that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. What had happened? Verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Judas was getting ready to betray Jesus, and Jesus still washed his feet. That would not be me. I would not do that. I'm just going to be honest with you. That wouldn't be me. But now I want us to look down in this passage in John chapter 13. I want you to jump ahead to verse 34. Verse 34. We have the introduction. Jesus is teaching his disciples. I believe John chapter 13 to John chapter 17 is a record of the Last Supper, and then that walk from the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 17 being the prayer to the Father that Jesus prayed in the garden. Now, John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment. Oh, look, Jesus just said, he's about to give a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love who? Who's he talking to? Disciples. His disciples. And he tells them, here's a new commandment. Not only love thy neighbor as thyself. The first commandment is the great commandment. I don't have to write a new commandment unto you. That's what John said in his first epistle. But this new commandment I write, and then he goes on to describe how that if someone hateth his brother, he's not walking in light. Do you know what the problem is in modern Christianity? We have a lot of people who say that they're born again and they're of God, and they hate other Christians. They're so divisive over things that matter nothing for eternity that they would rather that other Christian be completely and utterly gone out of their life than to either restore them if they're spiritually fallen or to bear their burden if they're just, maybe they're just different. Maybe they're just burdensome because they're different. Oh, here comes so-and-so, always got a problem, always needing money, always needing help, always failing spiritually, always needing guidance. I wish he'd just get out of here. You know what John said? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So the new commandment presented by Christ is this new commandment that John is expounding on, and it's that we're supposed to love our brethren. We're supposed to love other Christians. Do you realize that there are Christians in this community that love God just as much as you do, and they don't do things exactly the way that we do them? I'm not talking about compromise, right? I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I'm talking about loving people who maybe don't talk just like us. Maybe don't look exactly the way that we think they should look. Maybe don't do the things that we think they should do. What do? I'm better than you. You just stay over there, peasant. Oh, I believe you're a Christian, but I will be at the king's table. And you will be holding the door, right? Last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Better humble yourself real quick, because God will humble you if not. We have to understand. Scripture is very clear. He that is saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. Now, a couple things, very quick. 5 minutes, here we go. Number one, this in darkness. Darkness is tied to disobedience in Scripture. It's tied to disobedience. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will, please. And jump to verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, talking about Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's wrong with Israel in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 16? They're blinded. Why are they blinded? Because they don't understand Scripture. They don't understand Scripture. Do you know the problem with a lot of Christians is? Do you know what the problem is? They're blinded. Not because they're not saved. They don't understand Scripture. They don't see Christ in Scripture, or they're reading Scripture and they don't understand it because they don't actually want to learn. They've just been saved because they've, you know, saved as if by fire. Got my fire escape. I'm not going to hell. You know, I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell, but I'm living for myself because this life's about me. You have your reward. Scripture's very clear. If you lack scriptural understanding, there's two reasons. You either don't have the Spirit of God, or you're not trying to understand Scripture. Those are the two reasons in Scripture that are given. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Two more verses, and then we'll wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 6, please. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So having blinded eyes is tied to a lack of scriptural understanding. Living in darkness is tied to disobedience. Disobedient to the Word of God is the reason why they are the children of disobedience, and we're instructed to be not partakers with them. We're supposed to walk as children of the light. We're supposed to walk as if God did something in our life. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. And again, when we talk about looking like the world and acting like the world, I'm not talking about how long your hair is, men, or whether or not you're wearing breeches. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about our attitude towards people and towards the things of God. That's the problem. There are a lot of people who look the part, but inside, they're just as bitter and ugly. They're whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. Why? Because we're the children of disobedience. We have our standard of godliness, and we're comparing ourselves among ourselves, and we forget that the Bible tells us that that's not wise. We have to measure ourselves up to God's standard of godliness. And then when we fail, what do? God, forgive me. Help me. Help me to live for you. God, help me to live for you. Do you know what God will do? He'll answer that prayer. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll be back to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be finished up with this portion. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Peter writing to those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, verse 1, but in verse 9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Lacking what things? Lacking spiritual growth. The spiritual growth that's defined for us in verses 5 through 7. The adding to our faith. Not for salvation, but spiritual growth. We add to our faith and we have the order of things that are added. We add to our faith virtue. We add to virtue knowledge. We add to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. Do you want to know why sometimes people that are Christians, that have passed from death into life, they know Christ has saved them? Do you know why? Blinded, why they walk in darkness? Because there's no spiritual growth. There's just none. They come to church whenever they can. They hear a word. They'll write a check. They'll put in the offering. If they do that, you know, they're nice to people. They smile, but that's about it. There's no desire to grow. And so they can't handle the meat of the word. And the Bible says they're just like the church at Corinth in the first epistle to the Corinthian church. Paul couldn't feed them the meat of the word because he's too busy giving them milk because they refuse to grow. Do you know what you're supposed to do after salvation? Grow. You're supposed to grow. How do you grow? You get in this book. You talk to God. You get in this book. You talk to God. You get in this book. You talk to God. It sounds like, Pastor, you're saying read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. It's a song we teach our children. And yet as adults, if we've not instilled that within our own hearts, we stagnate. And then we start to lose interest and we start to become blinded to the things of God. And we start to look like the rest of the world in our attitude and our actions. And we're walking in darkness. And then before you know it, 2 Peter 1:9, forgotten that we were purged from his sins to begin with. That's what's at stake. Now back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Or let's go to verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So then here's the question as we finish up tonight. Are you following the old commandment? Are you living by the new one? Are you following the old commandment? Do you love God? Now, I doubt there would be anybody in here tonight that would say, I don't love God. He's so mean to me. I don't care about God. I highly doubt there's anyone in here like that. And if that is your heart, you come see me because there's something wrong. And it's not with God. It's going to be with your understanding of who God is. I'd love to clear that up for you. God's not an evil dictator trying to make you do things that you don't want to do. God is a loving Father that's trying to guide you, to bless you, to grow you so He can be glorified. Do you love God the way that the Bible tells us to love God? Are you living by the old commandment? And then are you living in the new commandment? Do you love the other people in this building? Do you love other Christians in this community? Do you love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Love them more than you love yourself? If not, we're failing at that commandment. Let's strive to be more Christ-like. Let's all stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer.